So are you a nice person? You're not a jerk, right? That's good, because we're going to talk with Dave Delaney, founder of Networking for Nice People, on this episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. Sounds awesome, doesn't it? Make sure to join me for this month's episode of Office Small Business Academy, where I discuss how to get new customers using the power of referrals, including how to design a program that works for your business. Small Business Academy is a webcast series that features experts and analysts with accessible real-world advice, ready to be put into use by entrepreneurs, creative professionals, techies, and leaders who'd rather be the boss than work for one. Register now at aka.ms/Duct Tape Marketing. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jantz, and my guest today is Dave Delaney. He is a consultant, speaker, and author. And we're going to talk a little bit about a book called New Business Networking. Generally, we're going to talk about networking, and we're also going to talk a little bit about his fairly new project, Networking for Nice People. So, Dave, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
Now, I think, quite frankly, that sounds kind of lame. I would join a group called Networking for Jerks. But for nice people, I don't know.
I thought about buying that domain and then redirecting it to a page that's just like for mean people.
So tell me a little bit. Let's start there. What is networking? What's the concept behind Networking for Nice People?
Yeah, so Networking for Nice People is a website that's dedicated to the topic of networking, but I don't know, everybody has gone to networking events or, you know, mixers or meetups or business, you know, conferences and things where you end up feeling like you need a shower afterwards. Like people have just, you know, you've got people whipping business cards in your face, and it's just a horrible kind of experience, and it's just ugh. And so I have a lot of experience in running events over the years and things, and I've always tried to bring them to create them as quote unquote authentic as possible, but really just breathing in some humanity into it and being friendly and being nice. And so I wrote a book, New Business Networking, a couple of years back, and have recently revisited the topic of networking and the importance of that. And it just, everything I do in my life keeps coming back to the topic of networking. And so after speaking to some friends, they encouraged me to start something new, and it has been going great. I've got, members joining all of the time. And then, of course, there's a free networking tips newsletter, and there's a free blog and things, but there's also a paid group as well.
So, you know, networking's been with us forever. It's not a new concept by any means.
Right.
Has it fundamentally changed? And not that there aren't still people out there doing it the old school way, but has it fundamentally changed in terms of what is effective today?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't think it's fundamentally changed, but I think in how we use technology, you know, my book is about combining online and offline networking. So it's about using social media to an email and content to build relationships and things, but also being in person and meeting in person is really important. So, you know, using social, for example, you can research a conference and who's going to be there before going, and even reach out and start establishing relationships before going, so that when you are there, you're not there alone. You can meet up with people right away. And so, and then same, it factors into the follow-up as well. So I don't think networking's changed as much as the technologies and tools that we have empowered us to make it better.
Yeah, and I was really going to ask you about that, because I think that just what you said, I mean, you might belong to a chamber group and they have a networking thing once a month, and you'd go and you'd meet some people, and then you'd start sort of the follow-up phone call, email, you know, process. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things that's really cool about some of the technology is that I think you can really speed that connection up, because you can find some common points on like LinkedIn or something. And so all of a sudden, you find common ground, you find ways, you know, that age old, we should be working together, you know, but then nobody right. can figure out how to do it. Yeah. I think a lot of times, because of the digital footprint we all leave out there now, we leave so many clues for people.
No. Yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of content out there that you can refer back to learn about somebody before meeting them in person. So
one of the things, of course, a lot of people think about networking for, you know, getting new clients or meeting prospects. And I think the people that really do this well are, they seem like they're wired. I mean, sometimes I suppose they worked at it and they practice and whatnot, but they think of networking as pretty much a 24/7. I mean, and not in a spammy way, but just in a, you know, mm-hmm. who can I meet? Who can I help? Who, you know, who can I find out more about? Is that an approach that you promote, or not promote necessarily, but that you think is the way that you have to look at this?
Yeah, no, I think it absolutely is. In fact, I've got a manifesto that I've created on the networkingfornicepeople.com about that very topic and sort of the idea that, yeah, it really, networking is fundamentally about helping other people before asking for anything in return. And in some cases, not for asking for anything in return. It's about helping others first and foremost. And I think everybody become better people. We all become better people when we're thinking constantly about who can I help today? Or if I meet somebody and they say, oh, I'm between jobs, instead of saying, oh, that's too bad, but actually thinking, oh, I know somebody at a company that's hiring, maybe I should introduce them. And so I think it's just a nice way for you to be thinking about helping others all the time and finding ways to connect people and things and then providing that value to folks. And that applies online and offline.
Do you think there is an effective sort of systematic way to work an event?
Yeah, you know, I'm putting together an online course right now about how to use networking before a conference, during a conference, and after a conference. It's kind of like three sections of it. Mm-hmm. I think there is a systematic way, but at the same time, I think you also have to be open to serendipity and just I remember I had an old podcast, you were a guest, I'm thankful for that, and I spoke with Hugh Forrest, who runs South by Southwest Interactive. It was like the first episode, and Hugh said something to me that stuck with me. I wanted to get it tattooed on my chest, and it was surrender to serendipity. Which I just have always loved that line. And so I think there are certainly systematic ways to attend an event and network well and efficiently. But at the same time, I think you do have to be able to let your guard down and just have some fun and surrender to serendipity.
Yeah. I read a research study recently that talked though about events. Like there were very strategic places. I'm thinking about the typical sort of chamber mixer, you know, kind of mm-hmm. event, that there were strategic places to hang out to have the best conversations, and that like you never want yep. to be by the door and don't hang out by the food. And I thought that was really interesting. And I suspect people that really have a strong objective when they go into one of these events probably try to stack the cards, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they try to make the most of their time, and especially if it's a conference or something where you're spending money to travel and you know, the cost of the ticket itself, you need to make sure that it's going to prove a good ROI on the investment of actually going to the conference in the first place. So, or the time even to go to a local chamber event. But yeah, there are certainly ways. Yeah, hanging out, you know, getting there early, I think, is a big one. Talking to sponsors is a huge one. That's actually how my book came to be.
Yeah.
Jason Falls had a conference called Explore, and I was there speaking, and I had some downtime between sessions, and there was a sponsor table set up. Catherine Bull was working her table. I didn't know her at the time, and it was for Q Publishing, and she just looked dreadfully bored. You know, there's all these books on her table, and she's just kind of standing there. So I just went over and introduced myself and started small talking with her, and I wasn't there to pitch a book at all. In fact, I never even said the idea of the book out loud, not even to my wife, but I had this idea loosely in my head and started chatting with her. And one thing led to another. And she asked me, you know, what my book would be if I had one. And I told her this idea, again, with no intention or plan of pitching the idea. And next thing I knew, I had a book deal. So, you know, as a result of going and speaking to a sponsor and just, you know, talking to strangers, which is something I preach a lot, unless you're my kids. but talking to strangers at conferences and talking to the sponsors, because, you know, they're there to meet people, except they're stuck behind a booth. And I've worked as an exhibitor at many conferences over the years, so I know that pain. So it's important to go and meet new people at conferences and networking events and mixers and things.
What do you say to that percentage of the population that says, yeah, I just am not good at that, or I just don't like doing that. I'm terrible at small talk. I mean, is it just like, you know, buck up and, you know, do it, or are there some ways to get better at that?
Yeah. So I think, well, there are certainly ways to get better at it, but I think, you know, for the people who say they hate networking or they, you know, all the things that you just said, I think of networking as important as first dates and job interviews, mm-hmm. where, you know, nobody likes to go on a first date and nobody likes to go on job interviews. And by the way, the interviewers don't enjoy them much either. But these are all things that have to happen in order for you to, you know, progress in your life. So you're not going to ever meet your, you know, future wife or husband if you don't go out on any dates. So you've got to go out on those first dates. And the same applies to job interviews. You're not going to get a job if you don't show up and go to the job interview, even though that's uncomfortable. And networking is the same for a lot of people. It's an awkward, uncomfortable thing. And so, but in order to grow your business, in order to meet new people and grow your network, you've just got to do it. You got to buck up.
So we've been talking about those in-person, you know, events, but what about that person that, you know, the world out there is who they need to network, or some segment of the world that happens to be scattered? You know, tools like LinkedIn, I mean, can you network specifically or only on tools like that and still be effective?
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, I'm a big believer in, you know, in how relationships change when you actually meet the person in person. The whole hugs, high fives, and handshakes. You know, it really is about meeting people in person, and that's a huge part of it. However, you know, I still have friends from Twitter, for example, who I've known for years who I've never actually met in person. So I think you can use social media and like LinkedIn, for example, a social network to establish relationships and to start to meet people. But if possible, you know, convening at a conference or somewhere where you can all come together is an important part of it too. So I think it is important to meet people in person too.
So if somebody came to you and said, my success, or at least what I think I'm, you know, trying to meet my objectives, depends upon me meeting X person. So if somebody came to you with that assignment, with the theory that you can get a meeting with just about anyone, what would be the way that you'd tell that person to break that down?
So if they're looking for somebody with a specific title, for example, or who work for a specific company, you know, I get that question a lot from people who are maybe between jobs and they're looking for, you know, a new job. And I say, well, what company in town would you really like to work for? And they don't usually have a good answer, or they don't know with certainty. And so I say, well, think about it. And so they come back and say, okay, let's say I'm in Nashville, so like Nissan is a big company here. So let's say they want to work for Nissan. You know, there are steps to research Nissan to find out who in those companies are the people that you should connect with. So LinkedIn certainly is a great, valuable tool for that, where you can do a search for companies and find people by job title and even geographically. But then also on Facebook, you know, Facebook search often gets overlooked, where you can do a search on Facebook for friends who know people who work for Nissan, or my friends who work for Nissan, or something. You know, you can do different variations of search within Facebook to see who you know or who you might be able to be introduced to that knows somebody at Facebook or at Nissan.
Yeah, and I think that's even on LinkedIn, I think a lot of times people see who they know, but or who they'd like to meet, but they stop short at, well, who is that person connected to? Because it's kind of this big web, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it's such a – I mean, I just did this for a client, actually. I got an introduction to somebody at a – because I'm fairly well connected on LinkedIn, and so I use LinkedIn I use my network to get an introduction to somebody at a company – so that I could introduce that person to my client. You know, and so LinkedIn is so powerful that way. And people often don't really understand LinkedIn fully. I mean, I think sometimes people misunderstand LinkedIn as just a place for people to post their resumes and that's it. And there's so much more to it than that.
This episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast is brought to you by Thrive Leads. This is a tool that we use on the Duct Tape Marketing website thoroughly for content upgrades, for slide in boxes. Actually, we even use the visual editor for all the pages and landing pages that we design. So go check it out at ducttapemarketing.com. We'll have a special link in the show notes for today, and check it out. What, if any, role is there for content in networking?
I think using content depends on what you're doing exactly. But I think, you know, let's say your own company blog or your personal blog. I mean, I think sharing your thoughts and opinions on your industry or, you know, things related to your line of work or even personal items to some extent, I think all of that helps to let people know, you know, more about you. And the more people know about people, the more they gain trust, you know, the more they trust them over time. You know, it's that whole know, like, and trust thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think using content, you can help tell a story, tell your story. And so for those who are researching people to connect with, they may find you and, you know, feel similar on whatever topics you're writing about. So I think there's a lot. Of course, there's the SEO side of it as well. I know a great book about SEO. so I think also the SEO side of it is important too.
You know, I have over the years been pretty effective using other people's content too. You know, you go talk to somebody about XYZ industry or whatever. A lot of times people don't, I mean, there's so much knowledge out there and great resources and tools that you could almost produce a research paper for somebody, you know, if you know the search and you know how to plug into some of the tools and you find the most shared content. And I've had a lot of luck, you know, sharing two or three links with somebody saying, hey, we talked about this. You probably ought to read these two articles, and people really appreciate that, I think, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one thing you can do with your own content even is if you go to a conference and you meet somebody and you write them that follow up email, hopefully everybody's following up. Because that's essential. That's just such a key part. But if you follow up, instead of saying, hey, it was nice to meet you at the conference, have a great day, you could say, hey, it was great to meet you. I just wrote a blog post about all my thoughts about the conference. You may want to take a look. Here's a link. And that drives them over to your site so they can get to know you better, maybe subscribe to your blog or your newsletter and start following you. So that's a great application for that kind of thing. There's the other thing too is when you something I always tell people is if you share articles that you're finding from bloggers, journalists, whatever, authors, or all of the above. Taking a step further and finding that person, that author's Twitter handle, and then tweeting. So if you're tweeting an article, you know, include the person, the author's Twitter handle, and give them a shout out even and say, you know, gosh, you know, Joe Schmo's post here was amazing because whatever, and then a link. I think giving that author a shout out is going to get you on their radar, and they may like it, they may retweet it, but they may start to notice you sharing their stuff. But if you're just sharing a link to their blog, they're not necessarily going to see that. So I think that's just an extra step you can take to start building relationships with people.
Do you have a systematic approach to kind of working your own connections? You know, like every Friday I do blah, blah, blah. Do you have a sort of a routine like that?
I do. And it's always being fine tuned. And of course, you know, I'm always overwhelmed with so many different balls in the air. So I get distracted by cat videos as well because I live on the internet. So I do carve out time each week, some blocks of time to follow up with people. I've started doing something that has resulted really well where and I use a CRM and some other tools to remind me to follow up with people. But sometimes, let's say I was at a conference maybe 6 months ago or a year ago. I used Gmail as my search or as my email. And so I do a search back into my Gmail for messages that I sent with the name of that conference just after the conference and maybe like within a month. And that search those search results show me, you know, all the emails I sent to follow up with people so that I can remember, okay, yeah, I never ended up hearing back from this person. I need to follow up with them again. It's been 6 months or it's been a year. You know, I could ask them, are they going back to the conference this year? Or, you know, whatever happened about XYZ that we talked about, you know, so it's just a good little step to do, you know, once or twice a week to start checking in and following up. And yes, I use a CRM and other tools to remind me to follow up with folks too. But I try to block it out in certain time chunks. That's something I'm really focusing on.
So I think one of the greatest networking ploys, if you will, is to teach networking. If you're good at it, teach your clients how to do it, teach prospects how to do it. And it really, I think, can turn into a tremendous networking tool or approach, in and of itself. Do you think most marketers or most business owners could learn from that idea?
Absolutely. I mean, that was a big part of the inspiration of starting Networking for Nice People as well. I mean, there's tons of free content there, but the private community there also, are people from all sorts of walks of life and different business backgrounds and different, completely different industries. And so it's a really great group of people who share their own experiences and tips and questions. And I get in there, all week long, really helping people as well. So it's I think there is a lot of opportunity there. It's part of the reason why I'm creating this course. Because I think twofold, like if you are going to a conference on your own dime, you're going to want the best results from going to a conference. So doing this online course will help you prepare for that. On the flip side, if you're, a corporation or a large company and you're sending your team to a conference, you obviously, that's even a much bigger investment for the company. And so you're going to want a higher ROI on that. And so, purchasing a course and having your staff take that course from will help them learn how to get the best results and the highest ROI from attending a conference in the first place. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity for education there.
So we'll have a link to Networking for Nice People in the show notes. So, Dave, it was great catching up with you.
You too.
I think I'll be in Nashville and not in the fall for an event. So maybe we'll see you out there on the road.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to see you in person. And I want to encourage your listeners, if they want, if they go to networkingfornicepeople.com/ducttape at the end, there's a discount there if they want to check it out, and it's up to them.
Oh, I thought you were going to say go there and John gets $10 of every subscription purchase there. No.
Yes, there you go. There's that too. For sure. And a big fine meal when you come to Nashville.
Sounds awesome. Yeah, it's already very reasonably priced, so I appreciate that, and we'll put that link in the show notes as well.
Cool, man. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again soon.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.